We come now to the last Sunday of this Lenten emphasis on prayer. And today we're talking about a very, very important kind of prayer, intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer, which is the prayer that we pray on behalf of someone else. Intercessory prayer. It's a very important kind of prayer. Actually, we think sometimes about praying for ourselves, and we're thinking about being or praying for just something else, but we pray for other people. And the Apostle Paul said that it was actually the first kind of prayer, the first thing that we need to do, because in Timothy he says, first of all, before you do anything else, first of all, then I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. That we are to pray for everyone. Intercessory prayer. Our leader, Reverend Simbala, of our video sessions, those of you that have been staying for the video, the small groups, he had an interesting visual picture about what intercessory prayer is. He said, intercessory prayer is like touching God with one hand and touching another person with the other hand. I thought that was kind of a neat image. It's like when you pray for somebody, it's like touching God with one hand and that person with another hand. Another neat image I thought was from Maxie Dunham. He was the editor of the Upper Room for a long time, and I read one of his sermons this week, and he talked about, called intercessory prayer, standing in the gap. And I thought those two images went together. As we are touching God with one hand and the other person with the other, what we're doing is standing in the gap between God and this other person, and the power can flow through us. Reverend Simbala tells in his video about a time when they started a prayer band at their church. And that is that was a group of people that would meet during the service, and they would pray for the worship service and the people there, and especially for the pastor. The very first Sunday that they had this prayer band, they were meeting in a room above his office, and as he went out to go into the service, he heard them praying, and they were praying things like, protect him, keep him safe, protect him, keep him safe. And he thought, now, why do I need protection? I mean, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going up there to preach. So as he was preaching and got to the end of the service and they were all praying, he had his eyes closed. Someone then pulled out a loaded gun and pointed it right at him as they were coming down the aisle. Now, I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story because you have to go see it from the video. So you go downstairs, you see the video. He'll tell you the rest of the story. It's quite an exciting story. But the bottom line is that he felt his protection came from that prayer band that was praying that he would be protected on that day. Obviously, you know, he made it through the whole ordeal because he's making the video, right? But it's kind of an exciting story. Well, fortunately, I've never had that quite an exciting story. I'm hoping I'm going to be able to retire without a story like that. So if any of you have any loaded guns today, don't pull them out today. All right. So, but I do remember a time that I was down. You know, lots of times you're standing in the gap. I pray for people all the time, and I feel like I'm in that in the middle there, praying for people with one hand to God and one hand to the other person. But there are times that we're down here on the other person level. And there was one time I remember that I was sort of down here like that. You know, I was looking pretty bad. It was a Sunday morning. I think this was about maybe 11, 12 years ago. And it was in October, and it was the weekend that my License to Preach class was here. You know, I've taught License to Preach for about 16 years, and I, in the preaching class, I try to teach them how to preach and do a sermon in the summer. Then they videotape a sermon and they send it to me and I grade it and make suggestions. And then in the fall, they would come here and we would talk about baptism and communion, a lot of other things. And then they would watch me preach and then evaluate me. The idea was that they could see all those things that I was teaching them to do. I would do it and then show them how to do it. Well, it's been a wonderful ministry, part of my ministry, and I've loved doing that because I'm an old teacher from way back. But this particular class, all the classes have been great except this one. This one was was quite a large class, and it was very diverse. Now, usually I love diversity, but here diversity meant conflict with a capital C. I mean, if I said one thing, the conservatives all took me to task. You know, if I said something else, the liberals all thought it seemed like I was in the middle of all this controversy the whole time. They were arguing about everything. The weekend had been no different. They were arguing about everything. And that was back in the days that we had three services. And the first two services, I had them tell their call stories. And then I could see them also how they reacted. Their sermons really hadn't been good. I had been kind of tough on them grading their sermons. And actually, a couple of them, I told them I didn't think they probably should be pastors. I mean, so the conflict level, you know, they were not too happy with me, and I wasn't very happy with them. And it was time for me then to preach. Well, I had a few minutes in between, and I was in my office. And I probably looked something like that. I was looking at my sermon. I had practiced it at 6:30 in the morning. But, you know, there had been a lot gone on between 6:30 and then. And I looked at my sermon. I thought, I couldn't remember it. It was like, this is going to be a disaster. Well, then there was this little knock on the door. Well, I did not want to see anybody. But you know how somebody knocks on the door and what do you just say automatically? Come in. Well, in bop little Erin Weyer. She was about in the fifth grade at that time. And she often would come in and just say hi and give me a little, you know, little Erin. I loved Erin, but I did not really want to deal with anybody that day. And she looked at me and right away she said, "What's wrong?" She knew something was wrong. And I said, "Oh, Erin, I can't remember my sermon. I'm just not able to focus. I don't know. She said, "Well, is there anything I can do?" And I said, "Well, you know, what can a fifth grader do? I just kind of wandered her out of my office. I wanted to leave me alone, but I didn't say leave me alone. And said, I said, "Well, you can pray for me." And she said, "Okay." And she hopped out of the room, and I thought, well, that got rid of her for a minute. Well, she came out the door, and that Sunday, the children's choir was going to sing, and they were assembling right outside my office. And Erin came out the door, and she said, "Okay, everybody, Reverend Diana's got a headache." I really didn't have a headache, but that's how she perceived it, you know, and it was a headache. I had the class. They were a headache. And anyway, she said, "Reverend Diana's got a headache, and we've got to pray for her right now. Now, everybody get in a circle and hold hands, and we got to pray for her." So here in this busy hallway with everybody walking up and down, here my children's choir got in a circle, held hands, because you're here now. Now, everybody hold hands now. Everybody's got to say a prayer. Everybody, we've got to pray for her. And so they started out, and it was like, surround her with love. Help her to remember her sermon. Heal her headache. Give her strength, power. One after another, those kids were praying for me. It has to be the highlight, one of the great highlights of my ministry here. My children were praying for me. It was awesome. Well, I might have been feeling distant from God. But as I listened to those children pray, there was no headache. There was power was coming in to me. And I came out and my children the children's choir were standing in the gap, were they not? They were standing in that gap. They were praying for me. And so I came out of there and I preached. Oh, I mean to tell you, I preached. I don't really remember what it was about, but I remember experiencing the power of God as I preached. And afterwards, when they met, it was the only time that class ever met that there was no conflict. They all knew they had experienced God in that service. Now, it wasn't me. It was the power of God that came through me, through my children's choir. That children's choir stood in the gap. And they did some wonderful things. They followed all the guidelines of intercessory prayer. Whether they didn't know that, but they did. It was just great. Because the scripture gives us some guidelines for intercessory prayer. It's particularly found in Luke. Now, I'd like you to open your Bibles. There's some Bibles there. It's on page 72 in the New Testament. Luke gives us some really important guidelines for intercessory prayer. If you look there at the very beginning of chapter 11, do you find that on the bottom of page 72 there at the beginning of chapter 11? The disciples come to Jesus and they say, teach us to pray. And so if you look there on the bottom of that page, what do you see that Jesus tells them? And do you recognize any words there? What do you see? Those of you who have your Bibles open. The Lord's Prayer, right? So first of all, they say, teach us to pray. Jesus gives them this model prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer. But after he gives them the Lord's Prayer, here in Luke, he says these words, and he tells them a parable. It's like, well, I'm not sure you're going to really remember this, but here's a story to help you to know some important things about prayer. And he says this parable. He says, and he said to them, suppose one of you had a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answered from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. Now, this is a little strange story for us. It's strange for us in many reasons. But first of all, we have to realize the importance of hospitality in the Middle East, especially during Jesus' time. It's very important to be a good host. So this is a story of somebody who has a friend who has arrived at midnight, knocked on his door, and the friend let him in. He had a place for him to stay. But according to the hospitality rules, he should also give him something to eat. And it's midnight. And he has nothing to eat. And they had no Myers. You know, there is no all-night store. So what does he do? But he goes to a friend of his and says, I need some bread because I have a friend who's there. And I need to give him something. You see some important qualities. First of all, the hero of our story, the main guy, the guy who has a friend who comes at midnight, he has a very giving spirit, does he not? He wants to be a good host. He wants to give his guests all that they can. And he realizes that there is an acute need. He has this awareness of an acute need. I mean, he could say, well, just go to sleep now, and in the morning, when the markets open, I will go get some stuff and we'll have breakfast. But he knows that his guest needs food and needs food right now. And there's kind of a helplessness about it as well in that I don't know what to do. And so he goes to a friend of his and says, give me some bread. First, the friend says, no, no, no. Now, it doesn't say how many times he asked his friend, but at the verse there at the end says, it's not because his friend is a friend. This guy isn't particularly good about being a host. the second guy. But he said, it's because of his persistence that his neighbor will get up and give him the bread. So he has persistence. He has persistence. He asks, not just one time, but several times. Well, all of this is to help us to realize some good qualities of this intercessory prayer, is that we need to stand in the gap, right? And have this giving spirit, have an awareness of an acute need, and be persistent. And when we do that, then wonderful things happen. For verse 9 says what? So I say to you, can you read that with me? Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. We had that verse last week, only we had it from the Gospel of Matthew. And Matthew says that Jesus said it in Galilee in the Sermon on the Mount. Luke says he says it here later in his ministry when he is in Jerusalem, but probably he said it several times. You know, ask and it will be given to you. You have these good qualities in prayer. You have a giving spirit. You're aware of the acute needs around you and you're persistent in your asking. Then God will give it to you. So these are very good qualities for this standing in the gap, this intercessory prayer. And my children's choir did it all. Aaron had that giving spirit. Reverend Diana, what's the matter? What can I do to help you? There was this giving spirit. She's a fifth grader. What can she do to help her preacher? Remember the sermon? Oh, just pray for me, Aaron. Okay, I'll do it. All right, everybody I know, get together. We got to pray. You know, there was an acute awareness. I can't wait to pray for Diana till the service. She needs help right now. You know, there was an acute awareness. And there was a persistence. Those children prayed over and over. My headache got prayed for many times. You know, they didn't say, well, somebody else has prayed for the headache. I won't do that. No, they weren't silly like I was in that prayer meeting in Monroe when I thought, oh, that person prayed that. I can't pray that. No, they were just like, well, help her with the headache. Make her strong. Help her to remember. Help her to remember. Make her strong. Surround her with love. I mean, they were all saying that. They were persistent over and over. They knew what they were doing. They were standing in the gap. That's what I hope we will do for lots of people. Intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. We've had lots of stories of people in the video, if you've been there, of people who've been changed by the power of prayer. They were all in Brooklyn. But I want to tell you the story of these two people. And they're connected to this church in some way. They are the parents of Jimmy Thompson, who is our drummer at the 11 o'clock service. Now, they look like very respectable, nice people here. But actually, his dad spent most of his life being drunk. He was an alcoholic. He was abusive. He beat Jimmy and his siblings and his mother, and he was abusive. He was a racist. He was a sexist. He was not a very nice person, and he made Jimmy's life and his siblings' life and his mother's life pretty miserable. But his mother, according to Jimmy, was pretty much a saint because she would not leave him. She kept holding out hope for him that things would be better. But he was really kind of the Archie Bunker type, personified even more, you know. He just was really not a very nice person. And as soon as his other siblings, his brother and sister, left even before they graduated from high school. But Jimmy stuck it out. He was going to graduate from high school. But as soon as he graduated from high school, he left, but he stayed around there. And but then when Jimmy's mother died, his father was quite alone because Jimmy and Patty had been in Florida, but they moved. And here's a picture of them right before they moved. Aren't they cute family? This is now Joey now is graduating from Cornell University, and Sean will be graduating from high school. But this is when they left Florida and came up to Michigan. And so with his family all gone and his wife now deceased, his dad was very much alone and very much a drunk. He was very much separated from God. But there was a preacher who stood in the gap. A preacher who saw the need in Jimmy's father's life. A preacher who had a giving spirit and knew there was something there within Jimmy's father's life that could be redeemed. And he had an acute awareness of his need. And he would go see Jimmy's father time after time, invite him to church. And Jimmy's father would say, "No, I don't want to have anything to do with that church." There had been a time in Jimmy's younger life that they'd gone to church for a little while, but then he relapsed back into it. But this preacher was persistent. The people at the church were persistent, and they prayed for Jimmy's father over and over and over. And finally he went to church, and then finally changes started happening in his life. Now, Jimmy's up here, and his dad is in Florida, and so there. Jimmy realizes there's a little difference in his life, but he didn't realize it until he went to his father's funeral. And when he went to his father's funeral, it was like they were talking about somebody totally different. Immediately, Jimmy knew something had happened because the person who sang the solo at his funeral was an African American. And he said, "Whoa, what's happened here?" Because that was the person that Jimmy's dad had asked to sing at his funeral. He had changed. Archie Bunker had seen the light. He said, "Boy, what happened here?" Well, as he visited with the people who knew his dad at the end, he realized that the last 5 or 6 years of his dad's life, he was very different, and he had changed. Well, that was wonderful, except that Jimmy felt like, "Oh my goodness, wouldn't it have been nice if my mother would have known about this change?" But as he thought about it, and during he realized that he knew, his mother knew, because he had had an encounter with God back when his mother had died many years before. His mother died in the 90s. And what had happened with them is that there had been this, you remember the song, "Everything is Beautiful," Ray Stevens? How many of you remember that song? Yeah. Well, that had been a special song that Jimmy and his mother had liked way back in the 70s. I mean, that song represented to them what they hoped would be true, that everybody and everything would be beautiful. Under God's heaven, God's going to work it out, and maybe even there would be hope for his dad. Well, that had been a special song for them. But after his mother died, during the dark night of his soul that he felt really bad because his mother had had such a hard life, as he was going the month after his mother died, it was strange because this song, "Everything is Beautiful," came on the radio several times as he was traveling around here and there. And he'd think, "Well, that's funny because I haven't heard that song a long time." It was 20 years ago that was popular, you know. And one day he said he was hearing it in the car, and he said to God, he kind of put out one of these little fleece. You know, he said, "God, are you trying to tell me something?" And he put out a fleece like Gideon did in the Old Testament, that kind of thing. You know, if you do this, I'll do this, that kind of thing. And he said to God, "You know, if I not go into the house, if that song is playing on the radio, I will know that you exist and that there really is a heaven and that my mother is there and everything is okay." So he gets out of his car, he goes into the house, and he turns on the radio. There's something else playing on the radio. And so he's, yeah, that was really stupid. So he puts things away. When that song that was on the radio finished, guess what came on the radio? "Everything is Beautiful." He said he fell on his knees. And it was just like, "Oh my goodness, God, you are real." Not only was it assurance that his mother was all right, but that God cared enough about him to give him that assurance. And so as he was telling me this story, I said, "Jimmy, That would be such a great song to sing at the end of this whole prayer emphasis, because it's kind of an affirmation of what happens when God's people pray. Because when God's people pray, amazing things happen. Even drunks like Jimmy's father can turn into beautiful people. It's amazing. It's amazing because everything is beautiful, whether it's a starry summer night or a snow-covered winter's day. Everything is beautiful. Everything and everyone is beautiful. There's none so blind as he who will not see. We cannot close our minds. We must let our thoughts go free. For every hour that passes by, you know the world's getting a little bit older. It's time to realize that beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. We shouldn't care about the length of his hair or the color of their skin. Don't worry about what shows from without, but the love that lies within. We're going to get it all together. And everything's going to work out just fine. It just takes a little time to look on the good side and straighten it out in your mind. There are times that people need to have it straight in their mind. Jimmy's father's just like a lot of people we know. I don't know who might be heavy on your heart on this day, but you can stand in the gap with a giving spirit, aware of the acute need of people around you, and be persistent. You know, sometimes when we start praying for somebody, things get worse instead of better. But if we are persistent, and we pray over and over and over again, everything will be beautiful in its time. In its time. God's kingdom will come as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, as the choir sang in their beautiful anthem. God's kingdom will come in its time. In its time, God makes all things beautiful. All things beautiful in its time. May we stand in the gap so that people like Jimmy's father can realize how beautiful their lives can be. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we thank you for the many ways that you work in our lives. We thank you for this gift that you've given us, the power of prayer. As we are here, we open our minds and hearts to whom you would like us to stand in the gap for. Put a name of someone in our minds. Who can we stand in the gap for? Give us giving spirits. Help us to be aware of those acute needs around us. And give us strength to be persistent. Enter our hearts and minds. Help us to not close our eyes, but to open them to the opportunities that you set before us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.